What's the connection between the debt ceiling and the roof over your head?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Today is the day President Obama takes over the stalled negotiations aimed at raising the federal debt limit in exchange for spending cuts. The president will meet separately today with the Senate's top Democrat and Republican. If there's no deal in the next month or so, the federal government could be in a whole lot of trouble. But what's at stake for the rest of us? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer joins us live from Washington with that story. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeremy.
So, Nancy, would consumers, ordinary Americans, feel it if the U.S. defaulted on its debt?
Yes, in several ways. First of all, Jeremy, if you've invested in U.S. bonds, you would take an immediate hit. Mm-hmm. The Treasury Department says Congress has to vote to lift the debt ceiling by August 2nd, or the U.S. will default. And, Jeremy, the closer we get to that deadline, the bigger the risk that credit rating agencies will lower the government's credit rating. A decrease in Uncle Sam's rating would cut the value of U.S. bonds immediately. In fact, there's a new study out today from McGraw-Hill that says bond investors could lose up to $100 billion.
Okay, but what about the Americans who are not invested in the bond market? Should they worry about a potential default?
Right, the rest of us. Chances are you're going to need a loan at some point, right? To buy a car or a house or a semester at college. If the government defaulted or even came close to it, it would pay more to borrow money. And guess what? That would trickle down, or maybe I should say up, to you and me. I talked to Russ Roberts about this. He's an economist at George Mason University.
In general, consumer rates are going to be higher because there's even more uncertainty about my ability to repay than the government's.
So you'd pay a higher interest rate for your car loan. People with adjustable rate mortgages would have to pony up more cash. Your bank would jack up the interest rate on your credit card.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer in Washington laying out one possible scenario, the one where Washington doesn't reach a deal. Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Well, the nation's capital isn't the only place in the midst of budget talks right now. State capitals are, too. And a judge in Minnesota will decide this week what services would continue, should continue, if the state's government shuts down on Friday. Marketplace's Jeff Horwich reports.
Wherever you live, this ought to sound familiar. Minnesota's Democratic governor, Mark Dayton, wants spending cuts and tax hikes to erase a $5 billion deficit. The Republican-controlled legislature won't entertain any new taxes. Larry Jacobs is a political scientist at the University of Minnesota.
We're now at the spot where Democrats and Republicans would rather face the shutdown and think actually it makes sense than to make more compromises in their fundamental philosophical beliefs.
Other states still need a budget deal before the new fiscal year on Friday. Todd Haggerty of the National Conference of State Legislatures says most have some sort of pressure valve, either a constitutional provision or court rulings that permit temporary extensions.
Then when you look in the case of Minnesota, they don't have either one of those options, so that's when you do face the government shutdown.
A shutdown could affect services from state parks to support for the disabled. Budget adversaries in Washington will surely be watching for who blinks first. I'm Jeff Horwich for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning. Chipotle Mexican Grill says it's raising prices at many of its stores for the first time in 3 years because of the rising cost of avocados and beef. Wall Street held the guac on Friday. The Dow fell 115 points to finish the week at 11,934.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. By Manta, connecting millions of small business owners with new customers every day. On the web at manta.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
In Thailand, extreme drought and heavy flooding have led to a big drop in the export of coconuts. And now that shortage is threatening to disrupt the $200 million coconut water industry here in the U.S. Sally Herships has the story.
It can be hard to catch up with the latest trends.
Pomegranate juice, acai. We thought it was going to be yerba mate. That never really happened. That really never crossed over.
Eric Helms owns Juice Generation, a fresh juice bar with 5 New York City locations. He says this year's newest food fad is coconut. Coconut water is already popular in South America, and now giant brands like Pepsi and Coke are trying to cash in by selling it here. But Helm says there's a problem in tropical drink paradise.
What's happening is crazy, crazy, crazy shortage of coconuts,
which is driving retailers like Helm's nuts.
Are the coconuts coming? Are they not going to come? Has customs let them in?
Helm's and other juicers get their coconuts from Thailand, and that country's crops have been devastated by bad weather and some particularly pesky beetles. Helm says his price per coconut has tripled to $3.75. But he's decided to hold prices steady for coconut drinks, even though he loses money on every sale.
Apologies for the pun, but you're eating the costs?
I am eating the cost, yes.
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell. Very, very good.
The one thing that gets people to change their behavior faster than anything else is the cost of food.
Harry Balzer works with market research company NPD, and he says Helms is right to shell out all that extra cash for coconuts. If prices go up, he says shoppers will move on to something else. So Balzer says retailers have to get creative. Tom Perko is president of Bevmark, a consultant to the food and beverage industry. He says retailers may be able to use the shortage to their advantage.
A shortage makes people want something more. If it's not present, people will run around looking for it because they have become habituated.
Perko says it's basic marketing and sales strategy. If you have a trend going, like coconuts, even if you take a temporary loss, milk it now. You'll have a future gain. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And finally to the UK, where the Birmingham airport put one of its old magnetic levitation train cars up for sale on eBay. Someone bid about $40,000 for it, but never paid up. So it went to bidder number two for just $160. But the winner told the local newspaper, "Now I've got a 5-ton train in the field opposite my house, and I've got to find a suitable use for it." In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
There's a hospital in St. Louis that wants to get people who are waiting out of its waiting rooms.
Can we give the patient education? Can we give them get their labs done ahead of time to where when they get to see the doctor, all that stuff's back?
Efficiency experts from the car business doing the rounds. I'm Kai Rizdahl, Lean Management. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.